Okay, anyway, we're starting late, so we're going to start. I want to say it's a little bit different than avad. Usually avad has a practical application. Here, the practical application is to know a certain hashgafa. But this hashgafa is so important that it could save someone's life, literally. Not, I mean literally, obviously, spiritual life. But now, it doesn't mean it's definitely going to save your life. But there's people that this vad will save their lives. How's that? That's pretty good. Okay. Before we can get to the vad, we have to do an introduction. This is an introduction. We could have made a separate vad on this introduction, but I didn't want to talk about this topic. There's one of the most important Chafetz Chaim hashgafas in this week's parasha, which I do not want to talk about, but we're just going to say it quickly because I need it for the introduction. It says in the beginning of the parasha that Rivka took the begadim hachamudas of Esav and she gave them to Yaakov. So there's a medrash that says that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that Esav did the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. I'm Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Kol yomai yisi mishamish es abba. My whole life I served my father. I never did one out of a hundredth like Esav. Why? Because Esav, when he was cooking the food or going hunting, which is a very messy business, he wore his best clothes. While I, you know, when I go do the messy work for my father, I put on my work clothes. So that was a tremendous respect that Esav had. He put on his best suit because it's for his father. Everything's for his father to be the best. So Shiva has a pretty obvious question, which is not the vad, just raga. So why didn't Rav Shimon Gamliel saw such a wonderful thing? So why didn't he do it also? So he put down a famous Chafetz Chaim hashgafa that an action, a chumrah, without the heart is not worth anything. Right? In other words, chumrahs only have value if it's coming from the heart. A guy who goes, for instance, in a mikvah, but he goes into the mikveh carrying a Playboy magazine in his head, he's not going to the mikveh. Right? So it's not the nice of going to the mikveh. It's you have to have the kavana. You only go in the mikveh to get taira, but it's putting on your kavana if you get taira. So the doing a certain chumrah to your father, if you don't mean it, it's not real. Okay. We don't want to get into that hashgafa. But what does it say, meanwhile? It says that Esav was 100 times better madrega than Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, was a pretty chashuva person, in kibud av. Which l'chara means that Esav did it with all the right kavanas. Otherwise, we said it. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel could have done it too. Which means l'chara that Esav did it with a shem shamayim, the mitzvah sriches kavana. So the tremendous kasha. Pasha pshat, Esav was one of the world's greatest rishonim. Right, that's what we usually learn. So we have Avodah Zarah, Kidei Arayos, Shfichas Damim, right, and all other good things. So how is it possible that the world's greatest Rasha is the world's greatest Tzaddik when it comes to Kibud Av V'Em? The Stira, you're such a Rasha. Now you're in this area, you're the world's greatest Tzaddik. It's a Stira. You're being inconsistent. Yeah, what's the answer? Oh, so the answer is that the kasha doesn't begin. Right? No kasha. The world's greatest rasha can be the world's greatest tzaddik in a certain area. Such a kasha. Because people are decompartmentalized and people are, right, we're living serious. Now, why is that so important? Because then the converse is also true. The world's greatest tzaddik can be the world's greatest Rasha in one area. Right? And that is extremely important to know. Right? We had a mice in yeshiva, was in this building, Heidegger building. There was a guy who was doing very well in yeshiva. And he told me, he's dropping out. He can't take it. He said, why are you dropping out? Or I don't know if he told me. He told someone. I don't think he told me. He told someone. He's dropping out. Why he's dropping out? Because he's doing so well. His parents call him up, and they tell him how proud they are of him, and he just can't take it. He says, why? Because if they knew the truth, I can't live a lie. I can't be such a hypocrite. I can't take it. I'm a hypocrite. I'm phony. The parents think I'm doing so well, and they think I'm such a tzaddik, and I'm really, I know my, right? I can't be in yeshiva. I'll be a walking lie. So, whatever. So I called Rabbi Trapper. I said, what this guy? So I said, you know, he obviously has some tremendous guilt. So I said, I got it. But he can't get the guilt out of him until he discusses what he did, but he won't talk to anyone about it. So Rabbi Trapper said, let him make up with someone on the phone. He doesn't have to meet the guy, so he won't have such guilt. So the guy said, no, I'm not doing it, because the guy might I might meet the person somewhere, even if I talk to the guy without giving my name, and he'll recognize me from my voice, and I'll be embarrassed. I can't talk to him on the phone. So Rabbi Trapper said, okay, let him call someone in a different continent, in Israel. Make up someone that he'll never meet. Okay, so that's what we did. We made up with someone, namely, you know, we gave him an imaginary name, right? A pseudonym, whatever it's called. And we called someone, we connected him with someone in Israel. And I told this guy to someone, Chaim, right? A makeup name, he's going to call you. And he spoke to this guy, and it helped. He got his guilt out, you know. But the point was that the bacher in the yeshiva was doing great, and he was learning terrific, but he was ready to drop out because he couldn't live the fact that he was living in stira. He obviously did certain averis, and I assume it was a pretty good one, you know, pretty good. He was, you know, successful, and he's doing good averis, but he was also learning great. But he couldn't live the fact that I'm a hypocrite. I'm a phony. But the answer is, you're not a phony. It's a very big insight. Just like Asaph wasn't a phony. Asaph wasn't doing the fake. I mean, he was a phony. But this was not phony. This was real. Right? Asaph was the world's greatest phony. But this particular thing was real. That Asaph was the biggest Russia came out on the face of the earth. And in one area, one of the Taryag mitzvahs, he was the biggest tzaddik. So you can have the same thing. You can have a person who in 612 mitzvahs, you're the world's greatest tzaddik. And in one area, you're the world's biggest rasha. Okay. Now, I don't know what happens in Shemayim. I'm not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it doesn't mean you're a phony, and it doesn't mean you're a faker. And it's not Megana that Zemin the Fun. If I'm one area, I'm the world's greatest Russia, it's a raya that all my 612 mitzvahs are all fake, and I'm a hypocrite, and I'm a phony, and I'm just putting on a show, and it's all make-believe, and it's not real. No. If Shad is, you're a human being. Right? That's what we're talking also about in the Musa Seder today. Human beings are not rational. Human beings are not... You can't figure them out. So, okay, so that's how it is. All right. Anyway, that's extremely important insight. It really is. It's one of the most important insights, just because so many people leave yeshiva. I once, Rabbi Chait once told me, Ramesha Chait, that the worst thing of suing averis is not the avera, but it's the ramification, you know, the fact that the guy's nikshu and avera, then the Yetzirah gets him on it. Oh, you're no good. And it's the biggest problem with doing an avera, the biggest avera of the avera is the guilt of the avera. That's what Rabbi Chait said. Now, obviously, you're supposed to do tshuva, but the guilt of the avera, he says, that no matter how bad the avera is, that's what I remember Rabbi Chait saying, no matter how bad the avera is, the guilt over the avera is a bigger avera than the avera. Now, guilt doesn't mean tshuva. Tshuva is something else, charata over, because the guilt makes a guy do much more averas. Guilt destroys people. So the way to get rid of guilt is you have to be able, okay, I did something wrong, I have to do tshuva. But it's not a raya that I'm a phony, I'm a chakran, I'm still a tzaddik. I'm a tzaddik with a chisard. Okay. That's chiddush number one. Now, there's a chiddush number two, which is the same chiddush, but it's a much, much more radical. Right? Much more radical. Let me see how much time I got. I still got plenty of time. We say that Esav was on this highest level of kibud avim. Right? I don't know, are there a chumash anywhere lying around? Can I have a chumash? When Yaakov went ahead, oh, okay, someone got me a chumash first. Okay. When Yaakov goes ahead, they don't like this chumash. No, I guess he's not nice. But I don't know, there's all these English. Too much English. Too much English. When Yaakov goes ahead and gets the brachas from Yitzchak, so Esav has a line, Yikravu Yemei Evo Avi, right? And then I forgot the rest of the pasuk. Anyone going to help me? Yikravu Yemei Evo Avi, Hagra as Yaakov Achi. So Pashup Shan the pasuk is that Esav says, I'm biding my time to take revenge on Yaakov. I'll wait till Yitzchak dies. How's Yitzchak going to die? Naturally, old age. And then I'll kill Yaakov. That's Pashup Shat. But the Medrash has a different shot. Then later at the end of the Parsha, it says that when Yaakov is running away, so Yitzchak tells Yaakov to go to his family in Eretz back in Ur Kasdim to marry a woman, marry a wife. And the pasuk says, Vayar Esav Kiroz Benos Kanan De'ene Yitzchak Aviv, Vayerech Esav Yishmael, Vayikach Es Machlas Bas Yishmael. So again, the pasuk Shan, the pasuk is that Esav sees that Yaakov doesn't approve of the women from other families, only from his family. So being a good son, he marries a daughter of Yishmael, right? Who was from Avram's family, same family. Comes along a pliadika medrash. The medrash says that what does it mean, Yikravu Yemei Avo Avi? It means I'm going to hasten my father's death. How's Esav going to hasten his father's death? So it says as follows, I know it's the place where it is, so I'll say it outside. It says, Hareini Hoylechu Mischaten Yishmael. I'm going to marry Yishmael's daughter. Now, when he's going to marry Yishmael's daughter, so what's going to happen? There's going to be a wedding, and Yishmael and Yitzchak are going to come. They're the old rivals. They're going to meet each other, and they're going to get into a conversation. The next thing you know, they're going to take out their guns and have a duel, right? In other words, Yishmael and Yitzchak parted ways. Not exactly necessarily in peace. They parted ways. They basically, who ended up yarshing all the money of Avram Avinu? I don't know if Yishmael was so happy about that. But they parted ways. That's what he's saying here. So he says, I'll bring Yishmael back into the picture. He's going to bump into Yitzchak. They're going to get into a big fight over the Yerusha of Avram, I think it says. But I'm not sure it says. Maybe I put that in. Yeah, he said that. They're going to argue over the Yerusha of Avram. And Yishmael, being Yishmael who he is, he's a hot-headed Arab, right? He's going to go ahead and kill Yitzchak. And then I'll go ahead and kill Yishmael, and I'll get all the money from everyone. Right? That's what the Medrash says. So Esav, it says in the Medrash, was plotting how to kill Yitzchak. So you have a pliatsuma. The Medrash before says that Esav was on a higher madrega of kibud av than Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Rav Shimon bar Gamliel, 100 times. This doesn't sound exactly like a kibud av. You're planning to kill him. You're planning to have someone else murder him. Right? Okay. Who's going to answer this one? How can they both be true?
And it's still Russia.
It's a stira. This is a real beforehand, okay, it was decompartmentalized. When it comes to here, I'm a tzaddik, it comes to here, I'm a rasha. But this is the same thing. So how can they both be true?
Because
mean, different
you
parts
get affected,
of one thing.
The other parts of you affect the other. The part, the different compartments of you affect other parts.
So what I heard, I think I heard it from Rav Hutner. They're both true. He quoted this, but he said because a human being, I'm pretty sure this was, I think this was Rav Hutner's Lashon. The human being is like an onion. An onion, you pull off one layer and there's another layer. Yeah, if you peel an onion, there are layers. So he says like this. He says you can have different, completely opposite feelings, but they're on different levels of your conscious being or subconscious being. There, you can have steers between your conscious and subconscious mind. You can have steers in your subconscious mind between one level of subconscious and the other level of subconscious. The brain has multiple personalities at the same time on the same thing. Which means that if I ask Yishmael why, and it's mukhluk from the pasuk, if you ask Yishmael, I mean not Yishmael, Esav, why is he marrying Machlas? What was he going to say? It says the Beferish Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayar Esav Kiroz Binoz Kanan Deena Yitzhak Aviv, Vayerech Esav Al Yishmael. So Yishmael would tell you on a conscious mind, I want to kill Yitzhak? You kidding? I love Yitzhak. Yitzhak, my dear father, I'd do anything for him. And it's true. But on a some level in his subconscious mind, I hate him. I want to kill him. I can't stand Yitzchak, and I'm plotting how to kill him. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Okay, because I'm getting carried away. Well, if usually you want to kill someone, you probably hate him, no? He's upset. It seems the way that he's upset with Yitzchak that he gave the bracha to Yaakov. And that's why he wants to kill Yitzchak. That's what I'm saying. It sounds like he's not helping his enemy. It sounds like that I think the Parshat shot is he's angry at Yitzchak that Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov. So he wants to.
Did Rebbe say it was for the Rusha?
Okay. I take it back. Maybe I'm getting carried away. Okay, I can't prove that. You're right. It doesn't say that. But it's still like he's planning to kill him. That it says Beferish. Doesn't say why he's planning to kill him. Okay. I added the seer because he hates him. But you're saying that that's not Mukhlo. Okay.
Maybe he was.
Okay. What? If going to the big Kiddush. Not because Yitzhak. I don't know, maybe Yitzhak will curse him. I don't know why. It says it because. Because he's, we're not sure. That's what we're arguing about. I'm saying he wants Yitzhak to die because he's angry at Yitzhak. And he's saying he wants Yitzhak to die because he wants to be able to get to Yaakov. He doesn't want to do Yaakov before he gets Yitzhak. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, but the Maisa, whatever Pshat is, why he wants, but it's definitely a Stira. He's on the highest level of Kibbut Aveim. And he still wants to kill him. He's planning to murder him. He's not just he has a desire. Oh, yeah, I wish I would be able to kill him. He's mamish bekum va'aseh. He's doing something to help bring about his death. It's a whole plot. He picked Machlas more than anyone else because by picking Machlas, it's going to cause Yitzchak to die. So what Rav Hutner said is a much bigger chiddush than I said before. I said that you can be decompartmentalized and there's no stira, that you can be a tzaddik in one area and a rush in a different area, and okay, that's the way it is. But Rav Hutner is saying You can be a tzaddik in Russia in the same area, b'vatzachas, which means that it's a big echid. Let's say I wake up, I'm a big tzaddik in a certain area, and then one day I act like a Russian in that area. So then for sure I get depressed. I always thought I was a big Baal Chesed. I always thought I was a nice, kind person. And then I see I'm an achzori, a mean person, and I love to torture people, and I get pleasure out of torturing people. You know, I guess I have my terraces. You're both. No stira. Don't get depressed. Don't get changed. It's not a stira. It could be you're the nicest guy in the whole block, and the nicest and the biggest Baal Chesed, and the biggest, and you also enjoy to torture people. How does that make sense? Because it's different parts of your, that's what he said, you're an onion. That's what Avunna said, you're an onion. Don't you get it? Yeah, you pull off one layer and there's another layer. So you can have in the two, one layer conflicts with the other layer. That's what Avunna said. There's allowed to have stiras between the layers. Because there's layers in your personality. There's your conscious brain, and we know your subconscious brain. But even in the subconscious, there could be more than one subconscious brain, right? So there's different parts of who you are. So who said that those all have to jibe? That's finished. He said, you're an onion. It's beautiful. Okay, maybe there is, maybe it does, but then there are differences, but there could be such a deeper level of subconscious that the ingraining only got into one level of subconscious, not the deeper level. He said, Rav Hunder was saying that there's, and an onion has lots and lots of levels.
If he was the best of all time at Kibbutz of Aim, then his stomach would have gone as far as possible.
What?
If he's the best at Kibbutz of Aim, then his stomach would have gone as far as possible.
Okay, I don't know. Anyway, that's a tremendous chiddush. So we're getting to the point. So the basic point of trying to say is that it's a person cannot be shocked if he finds. Now, we're not encouraging people to do averus. That's not the purpose. Right? No one should get the wrong idea. But the point that we're saying is that if a person does find himself doing averus in a certain area, it surely doesn't pass all the other areas, because it could be that my learning I take very seriously, and I'm a big masmid, and I learn, and this area I'm weak in. Where's your Yiras Shamayim? So I'm a split personality. But even in the same area, sometimes you can be a split personality. Okay. Now there's a third thing. Regretfully, I don't have this from this week's parasha. Two from this week's parasha is okay. Nothing. So Shiva used to have a line that was very big on, which is a third point, which is related. There was, apparently was a maisa. Apparently it really happened that there was a guy in the Kodo who was standing on the L, I think that's what it's called, the subway, but in New York, that's over the ground, in Brooklyn somewhere. It's over ground, what's it called? The subway, but in Brooklyn, it's on top of the ground. Okay. Whatever it is, it really doesn't make any difference. I think that's where it was, though. But it was standing by in the subway, in the train station, and he was standing there, and there was no train, wasn't coming, and people were getting impatient. And finally, they started hearing a noise of a train coming, and there was a guy who was getting very impatient. They hear the noise, so he bends over all the way to look to see if the train's coming. And this Kodo guy was standing right next to him. And he felt a sudden urge or a thought. Oh. to give him a little push. Here, the guy's bent like this over the train station. So I'm thinking, all I have to do is give him a little touch. And he's going to be, it'll be like a watermelon. It'll be gewaldig. He squashed, And the guy came to the reshiva so depressed.
Wait, the guy died, right?
No, he didn't push him. No, he didn't push him. He just had this thought to push him. And the guy came to the Rosh Yeshiva, the Kodo guy, all depressed. He says, I'm learning in yeshiva. I think I'm a Ben Taira, Baal Musar, Baal Midas. All of a sudden, I get this desire to murder a stranger. Like, what in the world is wrong with me? You know, I get this desire and the thought of that murdering. I must be the world's, you know, and the biggest. You know. So the guy was really quiet. So the Shiva had the famous line. What's the famous line? Come on, who's these guys from Queens?
I would have killed him also.
The famous line is the world. The brain is an open garbage pail. No, you never heard that, Brian? You heard that? Yeah. Which means you probably saw that on television. You probably read that once in the newspapers. You probably read it in some book. The fact that the thought came to you doesn't always mean anything, because it just the brain. That's what they said. The brain is an open garbage pail. So there are certain crazy thoughts that they're not indications of who we are. Esav actually did something. He actually married Machlas in order to kill Yitzchak. So that means that was him. On a certain deep level, that was him. But this, the guy had a thought. He probably read it once in the newspapers, or he heard it on television, or whatever it is, or for maybe 20 years ago, and he saw a TV show about it. So it registered. He says, our brain, we don't know what goes into our brain. So the fact that you think something, you are not what you think. Which means, for example, let's say a guy has a crazy thought, you know, about any crazy things. So very often, this is very common too, guys get like depressed because they have a thought. You know, a guy can have a type of thought, a guy can have a homosexual thought or anything. And they say, hey, so she said, that don't mean nothing. Don't get excited. Thoughts are meaningless. They're not an indication of anything of who you are. Your person can't go ahead and get all excited. The reason why you have a thought is because you saw it somewhere. You heard about it. You connect to it. Okay, so those are the three. They're real bit, little bit connected. It doesn't, not necessarily a raya either, because very often thoughts are constant because you don't want to think about it, so that's why you think about it. Okay, but that's not a raya either. You know, they're just saying that since the brain is an open garbage bill, so you saw this thought once, you picked it up, you saw it on television, you read it, the one in a crazy book when you know, somewhere, and then when the situation, you know, is nogeya, the thought pops into your head, and then once it pops into your head, it gets you all bothered, and therefore you don't want to think about it again, so therefore you think about it more, and you end up thinking about it. Anyway, it's another point, it's the same type of idea. The idea basically is not to get down on yourself. So we're saying three things. You don't get down on yourself, even if you're doing something, because you could be a split personality. Okay, now that doesn't mean that you do have to work on yourself. Because if you're the biggest Russia in the world on this area, it's still not a good thing. But it doesn't mean that you're like this guy who wanted to drop out of the yeshiva. It doesn't mean that you're a hypocrite. It doesn't mean you're a phony. It just means that you're a human being with a normal, healthy, like I said, you know, split personality. In this area, you're good. In this area, you're bad. Rav Hunder's chiddush is that you could be an onion. Even in the same area, you can have a split personality. And then the Rashiva's chiddush is that sometimes it's not an indication that you don't even have to feel bad about it. Because if this svara that it doesn't, feeling bad about it, well, gufa, it's not even healthy, because you're creating, you're imagining you have a problem when you don't even have a problem.
What was Rashiva saying? Rashiva was saying, like, if you were to hear the concept, or you're saying that's the devil? As in that the Torah I heard specifically about the guy.
Yeah, maybe, right? Something like that. He heard something like that. And therefore, when it came nogeya, so the thought pops into his head, because
you should say doctor, like, that could be,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how much exactly you have to hear. I don't know, but he's saying that just thoughts don't define who you are. That's what the Rishu. Thoughts are cheap, so don't be misspoiled. Don't go crazy. If you have a thought, if you're walking down the street and you think, maybe I'll do Avodah Zarah, maybe I'll eat a, maybe I should go in and buy some chazer, I wonder what that tastes like. He says, don't get, just ignore it. That's meaningless. Yeah, what?
But that's a stira in...
He's saying it's not even a stira.
No, I'm saying that's only a stira in thought, but what would the Rashida say, a stira in action?
Yeah, a stira in action, so that does mean that there's something you should work on it. He didn't say you should get necessarily depressed about it. That's the first thing we were trying to say, you shouldn't get depressed because it's not indicative on your whole personality. Just limit it to this one area. It could be, you know, even in that area, it could just be one level of your subconscious, whatever. But the Shiva is saying a second thing, that a thought doesn't even define who you are at all, because the thoughts are cheap. So thoughts don't mean anything.
What about a feeling?
Also, I think the same thing, because you have to know whether the feeling comes from a thought. It depends on the case. You know, if you had a real, oh boy, it's going, you know, I don't know. Okay, yeshikayach, everyone.